Good evening. And again, we all are longing for the blessing of God tonight. Thank you for that devotional, Brother Joe. What a blessing to have the image of the Son. Before I go into the message, I'd like to thank you, the Brotherhood here, for the wonderful week we've had here. It's been a good week. Thank you for receiving us so warmly and our family. You know, we left Costa Rica on Thursday, and we got here very tired. And we come to the States, we go through sort of a culture shock, especially my children, and I do too. But I thank you that my family has received a very warm welcome. And I think I can say for them, they felt very much at home here. Thank you for that. And it's been a good week for all of us. It's been a blessing for me anyway and our family. I want to thank you for the offering, the gifts, and that little photo album with your pictures in it. That's going to be precious. So we can go back and remember this, and talk about that. Thank you. It's been a good time. Some of my children are a little apprehensive about coming here right after coming to the States. But I thank you. They had a good time. I know they did. It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing for me. I appreciate the love and the fellowship we've had together. I just want to thank you for that. We're not worthy of all your love and the gifts and things. So I appreciate that very much. Now, what do we say on the last evening? There's a lot of things that could be said. I was thinking some about the message this morning, and as I often do after a message, I feel like maybe it's a little short on some things. I told Brother Joe, and maybe I'll just say all of you, that the message this morning about the Abba Father Spirit and our needy, our feeling unworthy and needy of God, we need to have that every day, not just when we're born again, every day of our life. But I would like to add to that, and maybe some of you teachers here can add another message onto that, which maybe I should. There is also a thing in the Christian life where we need to learn to just simply obey and love and obey and follow Him. Even when the feelings go up, when the feelings go down, we still obey. The little story about Casey and about my experience with that boss, something funny happens. I don't know if I understand it. When you obey someone just because it's a commitment to obey, and you honor that person, be it God or be it your father, that builds a love relationship. And one of the main reasons I think that our love dies out, one of the reasons, not all of them, is we're not careful to obey in little things. And we don't put God first and don't honor Him. And we need to make a commitment to that. I think it was Brother Burton that said that this morning. I'm just adding this. I sort of felt like maybe we should add this onto the message this morning. There is a thing of just a commitment to that and sticking with that, even though I don't feel the feelings. And I'm not trying to take away from the Abba Father. I still think the Abba Father Spirit is the secret to victory and to really experiencing and fulfilling what God asks of us. He wants the Abba Father heart. Let's open our Bibles to Colossians 3. Read a passage that's very, very well known. Most of it known by memory, the first four verses of Colossians 3. There's a message here that I'd like to share from the Word of God, along with some other things. But Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. He tells us here that we should seek, and we should set our affection on something. We should seek, and we should set our affection on something. And what is it? He says those things above. Where's above? Right now we're standing on the globe and above is this way. 12 hours from now will be the other end and above is that way. Where is above? What are these things that we're supposed to seek and set our affections on? Well, I think it's away from this world. Set our affection, seek things that are out of this world, in the spiritual realm. And we've talked about that this week, and I'd like to just encourage us again, if we are believers, if we really believe in God, and we believe in the greatness of God, and the Word of God, and what He tells us, we are led by the Word of God. We have set our affection on things out of this world. You know, we need to work, we need to live here, of course. But our affection and ours, we seek for the eternal things. We can say we hear a music that other people don't hear. We hear a voice that other people don't hear. And that's where we're going. That's what we're listening to. That's why we do what we do. And that's why we're different from the world. Because we're listening to this. We're believing something. Our affection is set on something the world doesn't even understand, much less seek. But I'd like to encourage us tonight to remember this. We need to seek the spiritual things, the things that are above, the things of God. And then we need to set our affections. Now that's an interesting phrase. Set your affections. Can we set our affections? I think so. How do you set your affections? You know, what do I really set my affections on? I have a lot of things I enjoy. I like birds. I like nature. I haven't tried hunting much. As some of you men like to hunt. I think if I'd be here, I'd get into hunting too. I think I could. I'll tell you the truth. Right now, I'd rather take a picture of them than shoot them. But I think if I'd need meat, I'd shoot one too. I think I could enjoy that. I enjoy taking pictures of birds. That's a hobby of mine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I do need to be reminded that that's not my first affection. You know, can I set my affection? Where do I set my affection? This is something that's good for all of us, young people and older people. Stop and think, you know, where really have I set my affection? What is my first love? What is that, the motivating force within me? What is it really? You know, what is it motivates me? Where, what is my affection? Is it on things above, eternal things, or is it on things of the world? And that's a struggle we have. And if anyone wants to distract us, it's the God of this world. He wants to distract us and get us to set our affection on things of this world, of the present. And things of this world pretty well all under the category of living for yourself, pleasing yourself. Pleasures, fame, whatever you want. This world is living to please myself. That's such an empty motive, just to live for myself. But we should set our affection on eternal things, something above ourselves, beyond ourselves. And tonight, I don't think heaven even has a porch on it with a banister. But what if I could? What if you could tonight? We could stand up on heaven's porch. That's just sort of a silly example because I don't think. And I could be leaning against a banister and God would be sitting there and the Lord would be beside me. And we'd look down at the globe. You know, I really wish I could hear what He'd say, what He'd tell me. What is really important? I have this interesting, a while back, a brother sent me an interesting email. You know, those many emails you get sometimes. This one little email had like a little, it's taken from a satellite. I guess it's real. Some things you get, you don't know if it's real or not. But it's taken from a satellite, and it has these little yellow points. Maybe some of you have seen this. And yellow streaks for every airplane, every jet that travels in a 24-hour period. You can see the light that's, like a supposedly taken from a satellite as the globe turns and you can see the light, the day moving 24 hours and you can see the day starting and moving over. But the interesting about it is to watch these airplanes. Each one, you see airplanes and in the daytime, it's amazing the amount of flights that go to Europe. And of course, within the United States, all these air flights. In the nighttime, everything calms down in Australia. And you see all these flights. I can hardly believe how many airplanes are out flying at one time. It's an interesting viewpoint. But let's say I'd be looking at God and God looked down. What would God be interested in? What would God talk about? What would God say? I wish I could see something like that, that would have a little yellow light or a green light for everywhere that the Lord has a group of people that He calls His children. I don't have the ability, and that's not my responsibility to decide which ones are and which ones aren't. I think there's a lot of churches that God would not put a light on them as being His people. But I'm not going to say where that line is. That's not my responsibility. What if God would look down and He said, I have people here. I have a witness here. It was interesting to notice these airlines, certain areas of the globe, there's hardly any airflow traffic. Very, very little. But what if He looked down and said, here there's hardly any lights. Here's a lot of lights. But I just wish, wouldn't you? Just hear what would God say. What is important? What is important with my life? I would like to line up my priorities with His priorities. And when I say this, I'm not at all, I feel like I'm for short of that. I'm not trying, but I would like to challenge all of us. If we could only have God's priorities in what we do. Think like God thinks. What is most important? Where I spend my time, where I set my affection. What I am interested in, what is it motivates me? Do I really have God's heart and His concern? In light of eternity. This is our tendency to be so self-centered, or so self-conscious. We're so concerned about ourselves that we tend to focus in just on our little life. In light of eternity, we could draw a timeline here of the 6,000 years of existence, 6,000 years in my little 50 years. And then if we add on to that eternity beyond, what is important? And if we could understand this life from God's viewpoint. I had some precious moments this afternoon. I don't think I'll forget that, Brother Phil and Sister Deborah. Going to the graveyard and standing there talking about Travis. But we look at that in view of eternity. Praise the Lord for the son they raised for Him. Praise the Lord. When you stop and think about my own life, a few years ago, I forget how many, a young friend, he's a brother to my co-pastor Antonio. His name is Alexis, and Alexis had been sick, and I hadn't even found out about it. But he went to the doctor, and he found out he was full of cancer. He's one of those tough men that wouldn't want to go to the doctor. He'd been sick for a while and no one knew it or hardly knew about it. And when he went to the doctor, it was too late. The doctor said, listen, it's in your organs, getting into your lungs. When I heard about it the first night he came from the hospital, I went to see him. He's 33 years old. And I said, Alexis, some people live, I could have went, like some people do, and talk about prayer and God healing him and picking him up. And I told him, I said, Alexis, I'm going to pray for you. We're going to ask if it's His will that He heals you. But Alexis, some people live 70 years, some 60, some 50, and some only live 15. And the way things look, you're going to live 33 years. I encourage you to get ready to die. 33 years. He took my word at that. I had that first Bible study with him. His heart was just wide open. It was a beautiful experience. The next 18 days later, he died. But those few days, I spent time with him. We had Bible studies. We prayed with him. I saw him ask forgiveness for things. I saw him call a little boy up. He was living with a woman. This little boy was not his. I did something very strange. I'm not sure if I did the right thing or not. I married him the day before he died. Now, I'm not sure if it was the right thing or not. That's what I did because he wanted to take care of this. He was not married. You might think that's funny. But he said, I want to take care of this. And the lady was agreed to it. We didn't go through all the legalities of it, but we married him. Because he wanted to die. And I asked him later, I said, Alexis, are you ready to die? Are you ready to go? He was a smile. His eyes shone. Yeah. He couldn't even talk anymore. He was already with that breath of, his breathing was failing. And he smiled at me and he said, yes, I'm ready to go. Isn't that wonderful? 33 years old. We had prayed for him for years. But at the last moment, he made the right choice. And he died. He'd smile at me when we talked about it, when he couldn't even talk anymore. I said, we'll see you someday. And his mother and his sister, and I see, we're hoping your mom and your sisters will come too, right? And he smiled with the sweat, the cold sweat. And he smiled and he said, yes. But that was victory. He died in the Lord, and what a blessing. In view of eternity, what's important? How long? No one knows however long I'm going to live. What is important? And I'd like to challenge us tonight to, I don't think any one of us maybe even understands all of this, and none of us maybe have it 100%. I'm sure I don't. I'd like to challenge us tonight to try to adjust our priorities to what is important. Some things are very important. Some things are sort of important. Not very important. Let's look also at 1 Peter 4. Some time back I read this passage and it stood out to me. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 and 8. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. The first statement here, the end of all things is at hand. That means the end of everything is nearby, it's close. Now we understand that God's way of looking at time is so different than ours. He said this back in the time of the Apostle Peter, the end is near. It's at hand. And we understand that. We know we do not know when the end of the world comes. For God, 1,000 years is one day and 1 year is 1,000 years, but God says it's at hand. And the best way to live, and he tells us this again and again, I don't know when the end of the world is going to be. It seems to me that it's getting awful close. But I'm not going to be too emphatic on that because it's not up to me, or God said it's not going to be me to know when it is going to be. But be it next week but still, my life, my end is at hand. I could die any moment. Our life is so fragile. We are here by the will of God. And we take it so much for granted, we think, well, I've been living a long time, I'll live a long time longer. Just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe, there's a young boy in our congregation at home that we've been praying for, we love. He hasn't given his life to the Lord. And another young man was talking to him and said, Josue, you should give your life to the Lord. And encouraging him to give his life. And he said, yeah, I want to someday. Someday, but not now. Someday I want to. And the young brother encouraged him, listen, you don't know about that someday. Be careful. You don't know. And God just put a big amen on that one. Because I'm not sure, was it 24 or 48 hours later, after he heard these words, he was out by himself working and a Fertilon snake bit him. The Fertilon snake is a poisonous snake, bit him through his boot. And something happened that I didn't realize could happen. I've heard about snake bites often, but in this case, something different happened. And reading, I found it can happen sometimes. That somehow the poison took his vision, and not only it took his mind. And to this day, he cannot, he's still alive, but he does not remember what happened. He was totally disoriented, and where the snake bit him, he went the opposite direction away from home. He wasn't far from home, but went the opposite direction. And there somehow he fell in the swamp. He left his boots there, and he was struggling in the swamp to get up. He had mud in his ears and in his mouth when he did get up. And then somehow, we don't know how, I'm sure the Lord brought him, he came back to the house. But instead of going to the house, he went out to the barn, the little place there, and he laid down there and still didn't. And then when at last they found him, and what's wrong? He didn't even know. Then they asked him, did a snake bite you? And he said, yeah, a snake, a big snake. And then he forgot again, and to this, well, I don't know now, I'm hoping his memory comes back because I want to hear more of the story. But he was totally disoriented. But the Lord brought him back, and they rushed him to the hospital, and he was saved. And, but you know, boy, did the Lord ever put an amen on when that man told him, your life is not sure. And we're praying for him. But I'll tell you what, I'm surprised. He was not far from death. If he would have kept out there in the swamp and went the other direction, he could have died. And he's just a young boy. He's only 15 years old. He could have died, and the family's really shook up when he went out there and found him already gone. But the Lord brought him back. And I told him, Josue, it's a miracle. I told him the Bible, when Jesus does miracles and the stories of miracles, there's always a purpose for his miracles. There's always a lesson. And I said, Josue, there's a miracle in your life and there's a purpose. But you know what? I'm surprised. I'm still praying for him. You'd think he'd be right on his knees repenting and giving his life to the Lord, but he still hasn't. Can you understand that? I can hardly understand that, but he still hasn't. I hope he still will. I hope to hear that any time. But you know, that word was just, it was just like the Lord said, amen, brother. The brother told him, you can't say that you have time. Like I said, 24, 48 hours later, and this happened, and it was so near, he was just within. It was like God almost shouted at him. You know, God just really spoke to him. But you know, that's the way life is. The end is at hand, and we don't know when. We can die at any moment. And if we live tomorrow, it's his will. And if we don't, it's whenever he says the word, things end. But the end of all things is at hand. We do not know. And some of them, and one of the most wisest things we can do is get ready for that. You know, let me see, what could I think of? If you knew something was going to happen within the next 2 weeks, and you knew something awful was going to happen to you, we'd get ready for it. You know, we'd be prepared for it. If I knew someone was going to come and try to shoot me in the back or something, if I knew that, I'd try to be prepared to avoid this. But why don't we get ready to die? If we know this, the time, the end of all things is at hand. It says, be therefore sober. And this word sober, if you look it up, it means have a sound mind. And what is a sound mind? What is a sound mind? A sound mind is a person who thinks right and has priorities right. That a sound mind is simply a person who can think right and have the right priorities. What's important, what needs to be done, what has the right priorities. You know, have you ever tried it? It's sort of fun. You can take a... One day I had 100 cologne piece in my pocket. One of those little 100 colognes, which is, 20 cents worth. I had 20 colognes in my pocket. And there was a little boy, and I happened to have that time, someone had given me a donation for the print shop down there. And I had a check of $1,000 on the other hand. And I told this little boy, I said, boy, which one do you want? And I held both of them at him. What would the little boy do? He knew that this 100 cologne piece would buy some candy. He knew that. He'd done it before. So he real quick grabbed the candy. He wanted the candy, and I had $1,000 on the other hand. A check of $1,000 wasn't mine. But he had that check, and he went for the candy. Now we can forgive that on a child. But that's not a sound mind. A sound mind knows to decide what is most important, what are priorities. And here it says, the end is at hand, so have a sound mind, we should think accordingly, and we are wise when we think what is important. What is important? The end's at hand. Be sober. Think right. Have the right priorities. I don't know what you think, but I think this young man who was bit by a snake, I mean, he was so near gone, it startled the whole church. And we were praying for him. And yet, he hasn't made a change of mind. That doesn't sound like a sound mind to me. But in the light of the end, what is important? You know, if you would know, if I would know, and most of us don't, unless we have a sickness like cancer, like Alexis did, most of us don't know, but if I would know, I have 1 week. 1 week from now, I die. Just stop and what would you do different this next week if you knew it was the last week of your life? This week. If you knew it was the last week of your life, what would you do differently? All at once, some things you were planning to do are not really important. And others are very important. If I knew I had only 1 week left, what would I do? What would you do? Well, how about doing it anyhow? Because we don't know. What about having the right priorities? You know, we need to work, and if I knew that I only had a week left, I imagine if you knew I had a week left, you might not go back to work. And we understand that. I do think you need to go back to work. We need to work. There's nothing wrong with working. But, you know, if there's something I need to take time with my child. That's important. There's some eternal things that are very important. There are some material things that are not very important at all. But you know how we get those confused sometimes? We just pull all our energy on the wrong, and we don't have our affections set on the right things. We get so excited and so involved in sort of things that really aren't very important. But the things that are important, we neglect and we let them lay and we let them lay and we let them lay. I just like to encourage us tonight, the end of all things is at hand. Be there for sober. And it says, watch unto prayer. We're going to talk about prayer. The communication with God. Making things right with God. Staying in touch with God, talking with God. And above all things, have fervent charity. That goes back to the subject this morning. That if we have love, you know, love for the Lord and love for each other. But I just like to encourage us tonight to think, what is important? I read years ago, and I forget, I should go find this story again. I'm not even sure where I read it. And I'm not sure I have the details right. I thought about maybe writing my own. Because it was a story that impressed me. Of a man that was dying. He was on his deathbed. And he was in a case like some people are in a state where he was unconscious. And some people, when they're unconscious, don't hear a thing that's going on around them. You know, I remember going to the hospital, singing with a man in the hospital, citing scripture to him. And I thought I was, you know, and then later I asked him, he didn't remember a thing that I did. But, you know, sometimes people that are unconscious hear and can think. So this man wrote this story about a man who was laying on his bed. He couldn't move even his eyelid. He was unconscious, but his mind was clear, and he knew he was dying. And the story was written well, and I'm not sure if I get all of this straight, because it's years ago. And the story is this: the man in his mind starts thinking about his life. If I'm not mistaken, some people walk in to see him, you know, as they do see the man is about dying, and he's unconscious, and talking about, well, he was a miser. Well, he was a miser. And walked out again, you know. That this man's mind is clear and he starts thinking. He thinks about his life. And the story is that is what his mind did, laying there, knowing he was dying, thinking about his life. And according to the story, the man repented there in his... But you know, what if I would be in that state and I'd stop and think and look back on my life? And if there's some things that I think I should change, you know what I'd encourage you to do? Do it now. Just go ahead and do it now. That doesn't mean you don't need to work, even to quit working necessarily. But our motives and our affections might be different, maybe not. You know? But you know what I mean? If I would someday, I'd be dying and I'd say, listen, I wish I could go back and do it over again. Well, we're not there yet, so just do it now. Do what you think you should would like to be doing the rest of your life before you die. Now, when I hit 50, I'm 55 now. When I hit 50, I said, whoa. I remember I could tell you where I was driving in the car, and I was like, you know, I'm 50 years old. I used to be old. And probably over half of my life is gone. And I started thinking, you know, am I really doing what I want to do with my life. And the question we could ask tonight, am I doing what I want to do when I get to the end of it? Look back and say, yes, that was the right thing to do. And I don't think necessarily have to change your job. Maybe. Maybe not. But the motives, the purposes. And young people sitting here. I was so blessed last night that I didn't realize how many young people are out there until we came up front. But we only live once. Only once. The 50 years I've went by are gone. I don't have another opportunity at it. They only live once. I only have one try. You ever these games where you only have one try? Yesterday we were down at the nature center and they had this little game here and they put up this kind of video thing and they're toom toom trying to shoot at things and you had more than one try. I hit a few deer trying, But let's say you only have one shot at it. Now life is more than one shot, but what I am saying, we only live once. So do it right. What do you want to do with your life? When you get to the end, what do you want to do? And we should right away set our affections that way now. We only have one life. What I want to do with it? Do it now. And that doesn't necessarily mean that, we have to work. God commands us to work, and work is an honor. We have to provide for our families, and have the right priorities. I remember years ago, I think now they'd shoot higher. I mean, not higher, lower, whatever. Bigger numbers. Back when I was young, I remember hearing a man, and his goal was about, I think it was the time he was 30 years old, he wanted to have his first million. If I'm not mistaken, I heard someone here maybe tell me about someone that went a little higher than that. He wanted to be worth a million by the time he reaches 30. That's too low a goal. Shoot higher. Shoot higher, young man. Shoot higher. Shoot for eternal value. Shoot for eternal values. What does a million help? What does a million help when I reach the end of my life? Or if because I'm after the million, I lose my family or I lose my own soul. What would we give in exchange for our soul? Let's think of eternity and let's think of the great God and the purpose of God. Why? It's a marvel how He... It's again part of the salvation story, part of the drama, part of the whole story. Here is a little baby born. Let me see, what's the youngest baby here tonight? You have any small babies? The Lord brought, there's a sister back there. Yeah, you're Titus's child. Is it a boy or a girl, Titus? I'm not sure. A boy, right? A little boy. Okay, this little boy is brought into life. Titus, how long will he live? Don't know. But there's one goal. One goal. And God has one heart. And that's where God bless the Mass family. There's one heart, there's one purpose. And he might live 80. He might not. But what is the purpose of those 80 years? What's the reason when he's here? He's only here a brief time and then he's gone. And I'm on 50 already. Some of you are 15 or 17 or 20 or some are older. But life is short. We're here a short time. It's really not long. Brother Amos, let me see. Has your life been short or long? It's been long. In some ways it's been long, but in other ways it's been short. Most people, you ask me, they went fast. And life is over. What's the purpose? What are we here for? Make money? Well, we need money to cover costs. We need money to further the kingdom of God. Sure, we can make money. But make sure we make it for the right purpose. It's all for the kingdom. I think I'd like to say this way. Our job is building the kingdom of God. That's our job, all of us. As Christians, our goal should be the kingdom of God. And we work. We need to make money to cover the costs. For myself and for others. I'm not saying you only just for yourself. I receive a lot of help from other people that have businesses and Christian business and they donate and the mission, the work of the Lord all over the world receives benefit. But whoever we are and whatever we're doing, don't you think our goal should be the kingdom of God? And some people, the Lord blesses them, and I think there's principles we can follow on a business, and I'd encourage you to be careful to follow worldly principles. There's godly principles, and I can see how God has blessed a man, and he has business grows. But his heart is the kingdom of God. This is all for the kingdom. You know, the business is church, using computer language, church-friendly, family-friendly. You understand that? You know, it's salvation-friendly. It's reaching out to people. It's in the business, but the business is about the kingdom of God. Some people preach, and I don't want to be careful how I say this, but you know, I don't like organizing things. This week we had this, can we call it a project? This week of meetings? You know? If you put me at planning and organizing things, it makes me nervous. Please don't put a lot of planning on me, your details. If you're going to plan a Bible school or something, and you have to plan meals, and you have to plan where people sleep, and you have this and that. I had a brother tell me once, Mark, I just love to do that, and you do the preaching. Okay, I'll go for it. Because Lord, you pray for me as we preach, you know. But I do, making planning details makes me nervous, and I'm awful at it. I'm not good at it. But you know, we need all of us, and each of us is a part of the kingdom of God. Each one has his part. Each one does, you know, does a different part. And it's all important. But our goal should be the kingdom of God. And I'd like to remind you something. The kingdom of God is always people. The kingdom of God is not things. The kingdom of God is not this building. The kingdom of God is not the plate of food I ate today. Boy, have I eaten good food here. It's been wonderful. But you can make that plate of food, right, sister? You can make that for the kingdom of God. Here, this is to feed the people who are working. This is, and the building is part of the kingdom. I'm not saying material things, cars, computers, whatever you use, there can be part, but the purpose is reaching people, right? Reaching people. Your businesses, you have your business, but the goal should be this business has the God, we want God's blessing on it, and the reason is people. And there's some people here that are not very able, that's common, of explaining and of sharing the gospel and of preaching or even sitting down and witnessing. Some men aren't very gifted at that, and they don't need to be. You know, you don't, you just your example, and they plan and they serve, but the goal is all working together towards the kingdom of God. And just remember, the kingdom of God is people. But it doesn't mean that they need someone who sweeps up the floors and someone who makes the food and someone, and others just pray. You know, sit back and pray. But we all are part, we should all work together for the kingdom of God. The glory of God, the will of God. And listen, young people, you know what? There's nothing more exciting than being part of the kingdom of God. There's nothing more exciting than knowing that I'm working, I'm helping. Wherever you are right now, wherever God has called you, the most exciting thing is to be part of the kingdom. I'm in kingdom work. And if young people here, you can pray for the work of the Lord. You can pray for the ministry. You can obey your parents. You can honor the church. You can bless. You can be a tremendous blessing. And I'd like to again encourage us. Some of us are called to difficult situations. And again, I could have spoken about suffering, and maybe I should have. But some of us are called to very difficult situations. And God does not ask for volunteers. God does not ask for families who are ready to release a son or a daughter or a wife or physical problems. My daughter's had, we've had some years of struggling with physical health with one of my daughters. And we're almost surprised. I mean, the way the Lord has been healing her lately, there was anointing of oil. And I'm not going to brag on it, but God has done some wonders in her life. But you know this thing of, one time we were with the relatives, some relatives, some of the relatives sort of implied that, you know, if we'd have enough faith, Jesus would heal us, God would heal us. That all these sickness and things we have sometimes, God would heal us, had enough faith. And after we was up here in the States, and after we got in the van, it was in this trip before, we were driving together, and I was afraid that maybe Anita felt bad about that, you know, her sickness. And it's been sort of a long road. I think it's done more good for me than for her. The Lord has really worked me over through some of this sickness. But anyway, and I said, you know, Nita, there's a deeper level of faith than just asking that God would heal me. You know what she said? You know, Daddy, she said, if I wouldn't have been sick, I wouldn't have been so close to the Lord. I've had these sweet times with the Lord through sickness. And if I'd have been healthy all this time, and she's my daughter, maybe I shouldn't say it, but she has been a blessing. And I know that through sickness, you can, through suffering, you can become bitter or you can become sweet. And that's something is our choice. And a lot of people through suffering become sweet. Others become bitter. But through suffering, there is a calling of showing the image of Jesus. The doctors, and some people have an awful lot of opportunity to show or be a witness to doctors, to nurses, to hospitals, to emergency rooms. And, you know, well, we're going to show the image of Jesus in these things. You know? And wherever we are, you know, some people have one disability or other, and we need to, and through that, a purpose is to the kingdom of God and to show Jesus to the others. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. And we don't decide who is going to be healthy, who's going to be the preacher. I never asked to be a preacher. I didn't. I just wanted to serve the Lord. And we don't. That's why we don't choose those things. God chooses them for us. But I'd like to encourage all of us, young people, young, older men, let's be interested in the real important things. Let's give our life to the important things. And that doesn't mean you might need to change your job, but it might change you change your focus. The next time you go to the filling station, and I fail at this, and sometimes Anita's even reminded me of this. Sometimes I'm in a hurry, and I'm going to go to the store, and I'm going to buy, I'm going to go in, and I'm going to go out. And my daughter has asked me, hey, can you be a little more sensitive to the people, really, that's what it's all about. The filling, well, you hear a filling station, you all do it with that card thing. You do a self-serve. What do you do that? I'm learning how to do that thing. But down there, they come out and they fill your car and you have to pay. And you know, every contact we have with a person, we should look at as an opportunity. That's what it's all about, kingdom building. A smile, even the toll booth. A lot of yours are automatic too, just throw the coins in that thing. But if you come by a toll and you have to pay a person, good morning, thank you. Just a little smile and a little love. And, you know, wherever we go, that should be our goal. People and showing Jesus and a word of a witness. So anyway, kingdom work. And I just like to encourage us all to think about kingdom work. And some of it is prayer. Some of you have told me you're reading about this. some of you are reading the book, The Death of a Saloon. A few of you have told me you are. You know, Hermana Linda, the lady in that church. Now, recently she's losing her mind. I think she still prays for me, probably. But she used to tell me, I pray for you every day. And I'd tell her, Linda, I didn't this time. She's her mind is weak now, but I have someone, I will some of her meetings. I said, Linda, I'm going to go somewhere for meetings. I've told her. Would you please pray for me? Yes, I'll pray for you. We used to have another man who was sick, and he'd be on bed or in a wheelchair. He couldn't even come to church. And sometimes he used to always answer the same way. I'd say, Brother Alfredo, I'm going somewhere. I'm going to Nicaragua. I'm going here for some meetings. I'm going to be preaching. Would you pray for me? And he'd always answer this way, every day. Every day. Todos los días. Todos los días. And I know he would. He's gone with the Lord now. He's gone now. But you know, those prayer warriors, who says? Who's doing more? Me that am preaching and the one who's praying. Who says? The old lady that's praying might be just as doing as much impact as the one standing up here preaching. I'll tell you what, I felt prayers this week. Thank you. You know what I mean? All in the work together. You young people, you can make a list. Make a list of people to pray for. If you just depend on your memory, sometimes you forget a lot of things. You know, make a list and you make it a point. The sisters, you can pray. Wow, can you pray? Yeah? But That's where our heart should be. We're all in kingdom work. And here's the church in Strawberry. And we have the church in Chichagua. And we have churches spread out. And we're all in the kingdom work. And we work and we make money or do whatever we do. And all it is for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God. You know, I think a good answer, I've heard someone say, what do? Well, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I do plumbing or whatever to cover the costs till we get home. I do this just to cover the cost till we get home. Cover the cost of your personal life, and you can help other people, help in the kingdom. Isn't that the way it should be? I tell you what, there's more exciting. That's the most exciting thing I can think of, is this eternal big kingdom, this big kingdom that's moving on. And someday we'll just stand back and see what all the will of God was through the, you know, all the years. You, me, can have a part in it. God has chosen, like we said, it's me. He's chosen me. And I can do a little part. A little part in the big story. The wonderful story of redemption, of salvation of man. And not everyone has to preach. Not everyone has to be out front. We're all part of it, praying for it. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 22. The last chapter in the Bible. I don't know what you think about this, but for me, there's not anything more exciting than being a part of the kingdom of God and doing kingdom work. Listen, young people, if you could please understand this. It's so shallow to just live for myself. It's so empty, just live to please myself. There's something so much higher, so much better. And it's the kingdom of the eternal God. And I just, there's so much more than to just live for my own pleasures and to do what I want to do. And I just like to encourage us all. And again, you know, we only live one time. And the choices we make now, right now. And the choices we make in the future too. But the choices we make of what we're going to do with our life. What I want to do. And again, this, you know, I just... circumstances in my life are really not the most important thing. And I'm sorry, I know some people have difficult circumstances. You know what I mean? It's not the circumstances around me, but it's what I am in this circumstance that's all important. And that's what, and again, we have that ability. God gives it to everything. You don't need a lot of money. You don't need a lot of wisdom. You don't need to be very smart. You don't need to be very good looking. You don't need to have a lot of education. You don't have all these possibilities. Just right where you have the grace of God to be what God wants you to be right there. And there's some things, I know sometimes it's those difficult things to accept, that why did God put me here and not somewhere else? But that was His choice. And the best thing we can do is accept it and just live for Him. Now, Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of the Bible. I'd like to close with this. It's the end of the book of books. And here we say the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit speaking, and He said unto me, verse 6, Revelation 22, verse 6, and He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. This is the revelation and the Word of God. These sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. We have the divine revelation in the Word of God. This is what's shortly going to happen. And these things are faithful and these things are true. Then He says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Blessed is he that takes this, believes and lives by faith. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book, worship God. There's this little thing here that's beautiful. And there's God who rules and reigns. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then there's people that keep to say His sayings. He's the one who rules. And the rest of us are just all the same. We just keep the sayings of the book and we worship God. And he saith unto me, and now God says this to John, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. That's what the Bible is. Don't cover it up. Preach it. And by the grace of God, we're doing that, right? This week, and I think right now I'm trying to preach what the Word of God says and what is important. I might not do a very good job, but I'm trying to say what the book says. And then he says in verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. Now what does he mean by that verse 11? He that is unrighteous, be unrighteous. He is holy, be holy. I understand it this way. He says, listen, we have warned you. We have said the word. Now you decide what you're going to do. If you want to go on, keep on in sin, you can do that. Go ahead. But you have been warned. And the ones who want to live holy and live right, keep right on. Because we know. We know. Then he says, behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega. And this is the great big God. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. This is the word. And we should preach it all over the world. He has warned us. He has told us. He has told us about salvation. He has told us about hell. He has told us about heaven. This is the word. I am Alpha. I am Omega. I have warned you. I have spoken. How beautiful it is to respond to that. Then he says in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are they who take the word of God seriously, who repent, have the broken heart, and serve him with the Abba Father. And we love to do his commands. If we have really met the Lord, and we really have a broken heart, we just love to serve him. We love to humble ourselves and serve him. And someday we'll have that eternal reward that we're not worthy of. Eternal in the presence of him. Then in verse 15, well, let's look at this a little bit. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. In the last chapter, he reminds us of this again. You know, you go back just before in chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. He tells us here, we have warned you, we have said the word. There's two kinds of people. Some will enter into the gate, and some are without. Now why does he say dogs? I like this little example, maybe tonight you might not forget right away. I like dogs. Told you about my German Shepherd dog? I like dogs. But have you ever read what the Bible says about dogs? I don't know why. I'm not going to blame God for it. But in the Bible, dogs are always used negatively. And I can see why. He's got some reason why. Dogs are man's friend too. You know, dogs are good. But the reason he says, what are dogs? You remember another time what the Bible says about dogs, what dogs do? And we have had dogs, we know what they do. A dog will have, I don't know, stomach problems or what, and he'll go, and he'll vomit. Then what does he do? Lick it right back up again. That's one thing I don't like about dogs. But why does he call people dogs? You know, no one would vomit into, sorry for the example, I don't want you to forget this, so. No one would vomit into a plate and then ask for a spoon and take it back, put it back in again. Well, you know what the Bible says? Listen to this. You know what the Bible says? That the man who knows that sin is wrong and still just loves to sin, that's what he calls dogs. Men who know that sin is wrong, that they just enjoy. The Bible compares that to just taking that play to mom and bring him back in again. It's an awful example, but it's something the Bible says, and they think it's good for us, and we might not forget it. We know sin's not good for us. We know sin takes us to hell. We know sin is wrong. And he calls that dogs. And then he calls sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and the ones that make lies and love lies. Those are serious words. Serious words. But you know, why is God so clear and so frank? Why does he use these examples? Because he wants us to be saved. He wants to separate from sin, to get away from this, and to love him. And then he says in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. This is the message that I have brought. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's the message. The Spirit, the church, and whoever hears it, say come. The message is come. What's the message been this week? Thanks for praying for me. The message is come. The great big God who loves us, created us, he is saying come. And here the last chapter of the Bible, he reminds us of this again. Come. Then he says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That shows how seriously we should take the message of God. When God has spoken, we need to be very careful to not change it. A lot of people do today. A lot of people change and say things differently than what we have said this week. You know that? A lot of people say things differently. A lot of people anymore say you can disobey God, you can disobey what he said, but if your heart is right, you have faith, you can still be saved. But you can check your Bible from beginning to end and it's not there. It's not there that we can be saved in disobedience. God has spoken. Then he says, he that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. He says it again. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Amen. And then John says, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Sorry, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come. I'd like to be in the group that can say that. Come, Lord. I'm prepared. I'm waiting for you. Then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Those are the last words of the book. And what we need more than anything else is the grace of Jesus that covers us, forgives us, cleanses us, and gives us the grace to live for him. But this last chapter gives us some serious words to think about. And again, sometimes I'm surprised. I have a hard time almost, you know, how can God leave such serious choices to us? They are serious choices. Young people, these are choices that an adult needs to make. They're serious choices, but we need to make them. No one can make them for me. You know, really, I've got a wonderful wife and a wonderful family. They pray for me. Before I came in tonight, my wife squeezed my hand and said, love you, honey. Pray for you. That's such a blessing, isn't it? But you know, she can't give me salvation. And she can't take it away from me. You know, she can't give it, she can't take it. And we need to each personally decide. And I'd like to encourage all of us young men and older men, the choice is ours, and it is the choice of all choices. It is the most important decision you ever make. To serve the King of Kings. And look at things in eternal. We have this. We've heard, we know, we live by eternal values. That's a wonderful thing to do. Let's pray.